The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Jeff Gallimore. He is a partner at a company called Excella Consulting. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. John, how are you?
Great. Just want to tell you the origin of this conversation this morning. I get around town, talk to people all the time, go to events, have lunch. I was having lunch with Jeff, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago outside in Arlington. And he turned to me and he said, you know, I think the federal information professional community might want to discuss this topic of DevOps. And I said, well, you know, it's a term that's a relatively new term, been kicked around for a couple of years here. And I says, that might be interesting. I bounced it off a few people. I talked to a couple of govies I know. And they go, well, everyone's kind of confused about what DevOps means. I said, well, then it's a perfect topic for a show, isn't
absolutely.
It, Jeff?
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk about DEV, capital OPS, which is a portmanteau for development operations. But let's we set the stage for the conversation. Jeff, tell us about your background, where you came from, and Excella, what they do.
I graduated from UVA with a systems engineering degree, probably more years than I care to remember right now. I've been in IT, IT consulting all of my career. We started Excella about 13 years ago. It's been great. We've grown every year. And hopefully 2015 will be no different.
So a lot of government work, commercial work, what's the split, kind of half and half? Or
It's actually about a third, and a third with federal government work, associations and nonprofits, and commercial. So we have a really nice mix of clients across a lot of different sectors.
Well, I like that idea of cross-pollinating ideas. Last week we had Adobe in here. We talked about Ford and large organizations, and there's a lot of lessons to be learned from large organizations, because guess what? You know, HHS, large organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, every agency I get into, very large, Department of State, large organization. Yeah. So I think a lot of the challenges that are faced in the commercial world can be applied directly to the federal government.
Absolutely.
So I've got to do the basic question of DEV, OPS, DevOps. What the heck is it? Is it a new word? So tell me about this topic, DevOps. What is it?
It's a really simple question with a surprisingly complicated answer. There's a caveat that I'm going to have to put in here, is that there are a lot of different groups of people that have some different understanding of what DevOps is. And if you give the wrong definition to the wrong group of people, either you're going to be looked at as a nut job or a zealot, or they're going to scoff and spit at you because you just don't get it, or they believe that you just don't get it. So I've got a working definition. I've been asking this question of a lot of people, and here's the best I can come up with. I have no ego in this, so if somebody out there has a better definition that I can go with, I would love to hear it, but here's mine. DevOps is a movement to create a mindset that encourages collaboration among people with different skills and perspectives within an organization to build high-quality working software and deliver it into production quickly and frequently to help the organization win. That's what I'm going with until somebody comes up with something less wordy and more to the point.
That's your story. You're going to stick to it, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. So communities of collaboration. Is that the three-word summary? Is that what we're looking at?
That is a huge element of what DevOps really is. And at its core, it is about this way of working and getting people with different perspectives to work together towards a common goal.
I work with software developers all the time, and they love to argue about anything. Argue about habanero peppers, argue about bicycles, argue about volcanoes and temperatures. It was an argument yesterday about absolute zero with a bunch of software developers and Kelvin and all kinds of different terms here. You know, from my perspective, what I see is that many times startup organizations have 4 or 5 people, and they got to wear many hats. You know, they got to run down to the Office Depot, got paper, then they got to do the tax return, then they got to meet with a lawyer, then they got a proposal, and then they got to do a radio show. Mm-hmm. And so they work over many hats. And so with small companies, what I see them doing is a software developer will take on the role of an operations analyst, then a system administrator, then a DBA, and then maybe an accountant later on in the day, then a salesman. So they have to wear many hats. And so what people say is, well, DevOps is fine for startups and smaller organizations, but big structured organizations with job titles like Gallimore Industries or Ford Motor Company, it doesn't fit for them.
Well, I would beg to differ, and there are a lot of companies and organizations out there that would also beg to differ. There is this phraseology that's being thrown around in this DevOps community. If you've heard the term horses and unicorns, and you might laugh at that, but here's kind of the gist of it. There are these unicorn organizations within the DevOps community. The people the organizations that you hold out there as they've got it, they've done something totally spectacular. They're also totally rare and don't really exist in the wild. And then there's the horses. You know, the unglamorous organizations that have maybe been around for, you know, 50, 100 years. Government organizations, you just trying to get stuff done, and what has become super apparent is that the horses can do this DevOps thing too. In fact, there was a conference a few months ago out in the West Coast that was the sole purpose was to show that DevOps was applicable to any organization, and in fact, every organization should and could be applying this DevOps mindset and participating in this DevOps movement. The listeners out there that obviously this is a focused on the federal community. People might be saying, "Well, that's great for the commercial folks or the .coms or those internet companies." You know, I'll tell you that there are some federal agencies that are absolutely killing it when it comes to DevOps. A couple, just off the top of my head, Mark Schwartz at USCIS, they totally get it. They're doing some great stuff in this area. John Owens at the Patent and Trademark Office, they totally get it. They know what this DevOps thing is all about, and they're putting it into practice. And most importantly, they're seeing the results from it. That's the great thing.
So let me give another summary here. I'll try to figure out again. So you walk into a typical company, you'll see a bunch of software developers in a wide range of attire. and then you'll see maybe some with the title of director of IT who is frequently going in and out of the server room and pulling cables and making sure the phones work and worrying about passwords and thinking about servers and switches and hardware buys. And what DevOps suggests is, well, that's not just a skill set that should be limited to one or the other. Maybe the software developer should be familiar with Amazon Web Services. Maybe the software developer should be familiar with phone systems and SIP mm-hmm. and not necessarily be limited to that. Is that getting closer to what DevOps really is?
Going back to that that collaboration mindset and having people with different skills and perspectives collaborating together, the term cross-functional comes up a lot of your traditional ops people that are really focused on maintaining the stability of the systems and the availability of the systems, appreciating what the developers are doing and working with them in order to build more available, more stable systems. And likewise, on the developer side, the people that are building the software that's ending up in production, working with the ops folks to understand what it takes to build systems that can be maintained better and then everybody wins. So instead of having this wall between dev and ops, and frankly, any other perspective within an organization that's necessary to push that high quality software into production, you're getting everybody working together, learning the skills, at least at some level, and having an appreciation for everybody else and what they do.
And I'm a big believer in that, but I'm going to be the devil's advocate here and argue from the perspective of job title and siloed job duties. But I think there's something to be said for that. You know, if you take a dentist who's real good at being a dentist, should he be a dentist for 8 hours a day, or should he go in the back room and make sure the wireless connection's working and then talk to the insurance company about billing? And I mean, there's a lot of concepts here about what exactly a software developer should do. And there's some pride involved with some software developers of, well, geez, you know, I'm kind of an elegant software developer, and I work at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not going to lower myself to worry about the vagaries of billing for Amazon Web Services. Uh-huh. And so let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk more about what exactly DevOps is and what it means to our federal information professionals, and how maybe they can glean something out of this conversation and maybe help their agencies reach their goals this year.
Terrific.
You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jeff Gallimore. He's a partner at Excella Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Jeff Gallimore. He's a partner at Excella Consulting. If you'd like to have more information on him or his company, you can go to excella.com, excella.com. Local company, very successful. We spent the first segment of the interview arguing about defining DevOps. And there are people that love debating, and they can debate for hours and hours, and with this interpretation and that interpretation, it's fine. I mean, basically, it's software developers and IT professionals working together to try to accomplish the goals of an agency. Okay, so you know all that. So why is it important? Why are you even sitting here? Why is it important for my listeners to worry about DevOps?
Yeah, this is the thing that makes DevOps and this movement so exciting for me, because there are real benefits. I mean, real benefits to get from this DevOps transformation. What I would say is I'm gonna try and connect with both the head and the heart here. So the head part of this, I'm gonna throw out a few stats from this report. It's called the State of DevOps Report. It's conducted by a company called Puppet Labs. They're a big player in this space. They've done it 3 years in a row now. And in 2014, here are some statistics that were gathered from 10,000 respondents across probably a dozen different sectors. So you name it, there was a company that was probably representative of you. So here are the stats. High-performing organizations, IT organizations, are doing 30 times more frequent deployments. They've got 8,000 times faster cycle times, meaning getting a requirement from creation into production and working. They are twice as successful in making changes to systems. They have 12 times faster mean time to recovery. They are twice as likely, here's where it starts to get really interesting, they are twice as likely to exceed profitability, market share, or productivity goals.
You know what I'm talking.
And for publicly traded companies where they could correlate this and the data were available, 50% higher market cap growth over 3 years. So when you're sitting in front of an executive and you're saying these, you know, providing these stats, if you want to be a high performing IT organization, which again correlates to this DevOps movement and this DevOps mindset, do you want these things or don't you? So that's the head part of this, and there's a couple of stories that I'll share that at least connected with my heart and were really inspiring. The first one was a story I heard about AOL a few years ago. And the situation was this. AOL was pursuing an initiative, advertising, I believe. The software developers had written the code and it was ready to go. Unfortunately, they could not deploy that code into the production environment because they were waiting for the ops folks to upgrade the operating system to run it on. So that code that they had written was taking advantage of certain new functionality in a new OS, but they couldn't use it. They couldn't deploy it until the ops guys had upgraded. And they had to wait 9 months in order to get that code into production in order to make it work. Well, they ended up losing revenue, they lost opportunities, and the guy that was in charge of all of this said, that's not a dev issue, that's not an ops issue, that's a business issue. It got in the way of the business winning. So that's one business-related story. And then there was another story that I heard at this this conference I was referencing earlier. It's called the DevOps Enterprise Summit. It was out in San Francisco back in October. And on the last day of the conference, one of the very last speakers was a guy from a Dutch shipping company. So this is a 100-year-old company that had a very unglamorous mission. Their company sent out the tugboats to get the big barges, bring them into port, unload them, reload them, and then send it back out. And if they had any doubt, there's an amazing amount of IT that goes behind that in terms of logistics and scheduling and all kinds of stuff to make all of that magic happen. And when those systems go down, it causes chaos, and that company really loses money. They had embarked on this DevOps transformation, and this fellow was relaying the story of what they had done and the benefits they had gotten. And here's where it really became real for me. He said that was relaying one story. An employee of his had gone on a family vacation, and this is 18 months into their DevOps transformation. Had gone on to this family vacation with his family. And his daughter came up to him during that vacation and said, "Daddy, is everything okay? You haven't been on your phone and you haven't been on your laptop."
Hmm.
And it was at that moment that I realized that this DevOps movement can have a real impact on people's lives. This DevOps transformation allowed this guy to go disconnect from work and go spend quality time with his family, as opposed to remaining tethered to work and dealing with outages and production problems.
So, from the perspective of a federal information technology professional, if you have to do more with less, well, you have to at least take a look at DevOps and see what it offers. I mean, you don't have any choice, do you?
No, this is something that is that's inevitable at this point. It's a matter of time. The benefits. The results are just, at this point, they're too in your face. There are too many examples of companies that are and organizations that are doing this. The excuses are getting knocked down one by one.
Interesting. It's fascinating. When I think of the ops part and the development part, I think of a phrase that has been bandied about in this movement called a full stack developer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what's used?
Yep, that is a term. Absolutely.
Now, is that an insult to a developer?
Well, maybe to the wrong developer it would be, but I tend to believe that a really good software developer or software engineer should have skills across a lot of different domains, and in this case, full stack is right on. That those are the kind of engineers that we look for that have a lot of different skills and tools in their toolkit. I think it makes them better engineers. They build better software and we get better outcomes.
Let's talk about toolkits. We had a plumber come out to the house last week. He had a toolbox. He pulled out a wrench. Okay. If I go to my auto mechanic, he will pull out another tool or something or other. And people and organizations have tools. One tool, tools for collaboration. I'm always interested. There's one we started using in my company called Podio, mm-hmm. and we had been using something called Teamwork. And I was asking one of my guests about collaboration tools, and he said, "We just use this WordPress plugin for it." Mm-hmm. I mean, I think some large organizations like SharePoint because it's secure and safe and used in enterprises. So we have many people collaborating. Are there specific tools that are used best for this type of interplay of skill sets?
Good question. Fair question. The answer is, I'll give you the consulting answer as I tend to do. It depends. It depends on the organization. It depends on where you are. It depends on the context that you're operating with. It depends on who you're trying to get to collaborate. There is a whole ton of tools that are out there that are really good, and it's a matter of figuring out which
everyone's testing them out. So many people testing. Yeah. Test out this. Test out Teamwork. See if it works. Yeah. There's dozens.
Yeah. One suite that we happen to like really, really well that supports a lot of collaboration across a broad group of people is looking at the Atlassian tool suite.
How do you spell that?
Atlassian, A-T-L-A-S-S-I-A-N, I believe. So uh-huh. If you've heard things like Jira, Confluence is a wiki tool.
Yep.
Grasshopper. All of these are tools in the tool suite that Atlassian has that supports this kind of collaboration and transparency among people, teams.
GIRA. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about tools and coordination and cross-pollination and maybe some feedback you might get from people who may resist it, not resist it. And there's a lot of skill sets that, you know, I think in smaller companies and startups, you know, toes aren't stepped on as frequently. But I think in very structured organizations, maybe organizations that have very specific job titles, some of this fuzziness of job description may offend people and may cause some confusion. We'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Jeff Gallimore, partner at Excella Consulting.
Management Friday on Federal News Radio. Friday mornings at 10, Aileen Black and Gigi Shum host Women of Washington. Hear from Washington, D.C.'s ambitious and influential female executives, role models for the next generation Washington leader. Then at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch to learn the best career path for you. Management Friday on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Jeff Gallimore, partner at Excella Consulting. We are trying to clear up a confusing topic, and the topic is DevOps. What is it? What does it mean to the federal government? And Jeff has made a very convincing argument that, yes, DevOps can work. It has worked in many different organizations. In fact, he's mentioned a couple federal folks that have used DevOps to achieve some of the goals. What are the gentleman's name again?
Mark Schwartz at USCIS,
mm-hmm.
And John Owens at Patent and Trademark Office.
Oh, great, great, great. Now, there are people who are listening to the show that maybe want to go to events or maybe reach out and touch someone face-to-face and hear a speaker. And a lot of times they just sit in the back of the room, but it's kind of interesting. Any events coming up in 2015 that my listeners maybe should note down or keep aware of?
Yeah, the big one that's coming up is DevOps Days DC. We haven't got, honestly, a date or a venue yet, but it should happen in summer or probably early fall this year. DevOps Days is a 2-day conference. It should be fantastic. It happens all over the world, and it'll be a really great opportunity for the DC community to get more plugged into.
So national seasons or Redskins season? When's it going to take place?
It'll either be at the start of the Redskins season or the end or middle or end of the Nat season.
Well, that's about 6 months. So what we'll do is we'll get some folks in from the DevOps. What's it called? What's the website?
DevOpsDays.org.
DevOps Days. We get someone from there maybe 6 months from now over summertime and talk about it and kick off this discussion. It seems to have very, very practical application for my govies. And they're all challenged with doing more with less. Their budgets are getting pulled. People are getting pulled. They have to figure out a better way to skin the cat. And if DevOps can do it, well, then they don't have a choice. They're going to have to do it. Now, during the break, we mentioned something about Phoenix or something. What exactly is Phoenix? How does this tie in?
Yeah, the Phoenix, or more to the point, the Phoenix Project is a book written by Gene Kim and Kevin Baer. It is a fantastic way to learn more about what this whole DevOps movement is all about. It's written as a novel, not as a technical book. I read tons of technical books. This is not that. Although there's still a ton of learning that you can get, and you get a really good feel for what DevOps is all about. It tells the story of a guy, Bill, and his role as an IT leader within an organization that goes through this DevOps transformation, where they started, what they do, and the results that they get out of it. I've heard of and know people, IT leaders within organizations that have bought copies of this book for their entire staff. So, for example, I heard John Owens bought, I believe, 160 copies for his IT group at USPTO.
Wow!
And had them all read this book. It's just a fantastic way to learn about DevOps because it's so accessible. Like I said, it's written as a novel, so there's this drama that's associated with it. It's not your usual dry technical books.
And I got to do the radio thing here. It's Phoenix. That's the Phoenix project, and it's a novel. I'm sure Amazon.com. And
yep.
And what I do for Christmas, I give my kids a list of books. I say, go to buy the used book and give it to me. I'd be delighted with something like that. And so I usually get all kind of a wide range of books, everything from, you wouldn't imagine some of the things I read about, everything from politics to history to physics, believe it or not. Isn't that something? So there's always misconceptions about different projects and open source and closed source and licensed software. What are the misconceptions involved usually with DevOps?
Well, the one misconception that I hear the most is that DevOps is a set of tools, or it's a set of processes, or it's a box on the org chart. I hear that from a lot. Oh, we're doing DevOps because we have Puppet or we have Chef, or I have a DevOps team. Those are things that that might be evidence of a move towards this DevOps mindset, but they're not DevOps in and of itself. It goes back to, you know, when we were talking earlier about how hard it is to define what DevOps really is. But it's not a set of tools. It's not a set of processes. It's not a box on an org chart. It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. It's in your DNA.
I was one of the guys I listened to is Dave Linthicum. I listen to his podcast mm-hmm. all the time, and I've listened to him talk about Puppet and Chef, and I just never dawned on me that it's part of DevOps. I listened to it and understood it and tried to figure out the application yeah. is and work and should I bring someone in the studio and talk about. But I never realized, well, the general category, John, is DevOps. Mm-hmm. it's so independent of itself. But so that's the general. So I guess DevOps is more cultural than tool based. It's a
yeah.
culture. It's like agile software development. It's an approach or a mindset, huh?
Yeah, you nailed it, John. That is exactly what it is. It's a cultural thing. It's about how an organization behaves and what their values are. It's not about the tools or the processes or the org chart. Those should be a reflection of the mindset and the values and the approach that the company is taking or the organization is taking.
We mentioned Ford Motor Company earlier in the show, and I got to go back to Ford because I've read biographies of the gentleman that started Ford, and it was a top-down top-down management. That's mm-hmm. what it was, and most of them were. And I think back 50, 60, 80 years ago, maybe agencies were top-down management. That's fine. But in this culture of rapid software development, new products, new systems, spinning up servers, pulling things down, Amazon Redshift, this, that, new, quick, it's almost that it can't be top-down. It has to be almost modular or like a cog in a loosely flexible machine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very amorphous and hard to describe, but the idea of being agile and quick and moving because something, it's changing so fast. Not, you said 9 months. I said, 9 months? How many new products are going to be released in the next 9 months?
Right.
I can't even think of it.
Right. And you look at the legacy of the federal government, and frankly, a lot of organizations and companies that are out there coming from this waterfall type of thinking where it's rules-based, it's constraint-based, it's sign-off-based, it's gate-based. That is not the way that it's been proven over and over and over again that is not the best way to get the best results for whatever organization you're a part of.
I helped a local company get through their ISO certification 2 months ago, and I almost called suicide hotline, but we got through. And what I learned about ISO is that there are fish markets in Japan that are ISO certified.
Oh my
goodness. I said, well, okay, let me get this straight. I know it's high quality. There's these goals and objectives. But I'm thinking about best practices, and in general, I'm thinking about DevOps. And culturally, it's almost like that concept of ISO. It's almost like it's got nothing to do with software. It's got to do with complex systems and mm-hmm. managing complex systems. And today, in order to manage a complex system, maybe it's a tugboat in Denmark or mm-hmm. the Netherlands, it's a complex system. There's a lot of different factors to worry about. And you can almost take that moving boats back and forth to Norfolk and understanding the complex system of these containers that come in Norfolk. Right. I was down there. You want to get dazzled with big data, you try to manage all those containers coming in
right.
at Portsmouth and everything down there. And so is that where DevOps is now? I mean, you can't go to UVA and measure and study DevOps, can you? Or can you? Are there majors or courses involved?
Well, not yet. I hope there will be at some point. But you actually just hit on another one of those misconceptions about DevOps is that it's an IT thing, or at least it's only an IT thing. And certainly that's where its roots are. But as we've come to understand, and as organizations have gone through this transformation, it's really about a help our organization win thing and make life better for humans thing. And that's not just IT. That's not just dev or ops. That's your customer. That's your business. That's every silo, box on the org chart, whatever you want to call it. But everybody that has a role in helping the organization win, which should be everybody in your organization, should be a part of this thing.
So they sometimes have to put job titles aside and be flexible and work with many different areas. Even if your job title is system administrator, maybe you have to take in and learn about Puppet or right. about something, because someone else is deploying Puppet, and you have to at least know what it is and how it can affect your job, because we're all trying to reach the goal of the agency at the same time, or company, or whatever large organization happens to be.
Right.
Great. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up this interview, talk about maybe some resources to learn about DevOps, and find out maybe some social media sites that people can go to learn more, and talk more about this event coming up later on this year in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Jeff Gallimore, partner at Excella Consulting.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jeff Gallimore, partner at Excella Consulting. We've been going back and forth and arguing and disputing about this concept called DevOps. I think we've attempted to define it. We have a pretty good definition here, and we've talked about how it has value in the federal government. In fact, we've listed govies who have used DevOps to accomplish their government agencies. Over at the PTO was one. Mm-hmm. A lot of my listeners get information from listening to the radio, from podcasts, from Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. What's your company's Twitter handle?
We have at Excellico.
Mm-hmm. Excellaco.
Yep.
That's one to find more information and all kinds of places to find information. I'm going to dig into this topic of good resources for my listeners. But first, we have the 10-question test.
Okay.
You have to find out if, in fact, you're a card-carrying nerd. And many of people listening going, well, geez, I don't know. What kind of phone does that guy have? And it's just a little fun thing that we do every show. So, first question is, so I break into your house, how many old-school desktops we have sitting around?
Zero. Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't have to turn in my geek card yet, because I used to have a bunch. But anytime I need to do something, experiment with anything, I spin up a VM on my MacBook Pro, or I go to the cloud and do it there.
Huh.
So I don't need the old hardware anymore.
You don't, and most people don't. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
Just one. I made a switch. Okay. I made a switch from Windows Phone to an Apple iPhone.
Hmm. I see the opposite going on, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. All kinds of things. So, to an app, interesting. Anna, do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. It's Jay Gallimore.
Gallimore.
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you have a personal blog?
I do. It's called itsanicelife.com.
It's a nice life. And we already said we know what kind of smartphone you have now. Just got an iPhone. And what's the most popular app on that phone the last 30 days?
Trello.
It's another one we took a look at. Trello, yeah. We looked at for collaboration and experimenting and testing it out. And it's like you test all of them out and you try to figure out what works best.
Trello is fantastic. I use it for almost everything, personal, professional. We have teams that are using it. It's simple, and you can do 99% of the stuff that you want to do.
I've used Wunderlist in the past for something like that. So we break into your house. How many tablet devices do we find?
The ones that are owned by me anyway, you're going to find four. Going to find an iPad 2, two Kindle Fires, and a Kindle keyboard.
Interesting. And when was the most recent post in social networking? The most recent post in social networking was when for you?
Let's see. I probably had a tweet yesterday at a... actually, ironically, at the USPTO, they were doing a DevOps Discovery Day. Brought in industry, brought in some folks from Etsy, which is one of these unicorn companies. So there's probably a tweet out there about that.
Mm-hmm. And do you wear a mobile fitness device?
I do not wear a mobile fitness device. I am a, truth be told, I'm a CrossFitter. And yeah, we kind of
looked down on that.
Looked down on that a little bit.
And last book you read, Jeff, was it electronic or paper?
It was electronic. It was a book called Turn the Ship Around by David Marquette, about a submarine commander that took a submarine from worst to first. It's a great leadership story.
Which leads to the next question of there are people who are listening, and maybe they typed in DevOps, and they're listening to this while they're doing something else at work. And you know, many of my listeners want more information on it. You can't measure. You can't. What's the word in college? I'm stuck here for some reason. You can't major in DevOps in college. Not many courses on it. It's kind of a skill set you develop at work. So, what kind of resources out there? How can my listeners learn more about DevOps?
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to do another plug for the Phoenix Project. It is.
It's not even manual. It's a novel.
It's a novel. Yeah, that's the great. For those out there that have read the book The Goal by Eliyahu Goldratt, came out in the 80s, and it was all about lean manufacturing, lean principles for manufacturing. It was written as a novel format, but there was a ton of learning that you could get out of this. That book was for lean manufacturing. The Phoenix Project is for DevOps.
Interesting parallel. Interesting.
One,
okay, go on.
Yeah, another one, another set of resources would be the local meetups that are here in the DC area. There's some great meetups with a lot of great speakers and a great community. DevOps DC is one. DC Continuous Delivery is another one. DC Configuration Management is another one that I know of and have attended. All of those are on meetup.com. You can find those out. They typically have meetings monthly.
And they don't charge anything typically.
No, they're all free. And it's a great community. A lot of exceptionally smart people. I learn a ton every time I go to one of those.
No, Uber was in the news about a month or two ago. And I was at a meetup at the Uber office in downtown DC. It was kind of a strange little office, but maybe I've seen too many strange things. But it was a fun place. But meetups are really great for vertical topics. If you want to learn something very specific, it's as specific as you want, and it's normally 10 or 15 people. It's free, and they usually have a speaker there that actually has worked with whatever technology happens to be and knows it real well.
Yep. A couple more plugs, and these are videos that I would strongly recommend. One is a video from this DevOps Enterprise Summit back in October of Mark Schwartz, actually. Mark Schwartz is the CIO at USCIS, and he was talking about the transformation that USCIS has gone through. Again, a fantastic, compelling, inspirational talk from Mark about where he started with how USCIS was set up, the policies that they had in place, working with people, helping understand and understand the why behind a lot of the policies, and then figuring out and working with them, with others within USCIS to do things better. And then another video from a guy named Damon Edwards. Damon Edwards is one of these kind of top-tier thought leaders within the DevOps community. From Velocity Conference in 2013 out in, I believe it was in Santa Clara, that provides a recipe for organizations to get started with DevOps. Big shout out to my friend Mike McGar for sharing that with me recently.
So my listeners can go to YouTube and just type in DevOps and scroll down and maybe look for the specific name, huh?
Right, yep.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that a lot of the videos on YouTube, how do I say this discreetly, may not have as much value as is promised.
Yeah. And I think even just going to Google, I'm not sure if it's on Vimeo or some other website or something like that, but Google, I'm sure will get you there.
Well, we've certainly given listeners all kinds of ways to learn about DevOps. We've defined it. We've talked about people who practice it in the federal government, give them books, we give them websites, give them videos. So what's going to happen here in the next 5 years, Jeff? We're going to look at it's going to go somewhere, go nowhere? People going to shun it? Is it going to be specialized? Or is it going to be all-encompassing and people going to do it and not even know they're doing DevOps?
Yeah, I think the reality is that this is just going to be the way that things get done in the future. There was a quote that I still remember. I was on a project in the eGov world about 10 years ago. And there was one of the program managers who's running one of these initiatives. And he said, very wise, he said, first prove it's possible, then prove it's practical, then prove it's inevitable. I think we've already proven it's possible. These organizations within the federal government and certainly outside of the federal government have proven that you can do this, go through this DevOps transformation and get a lot of benefit out of it. I think we've also proven that it's practical, and it's just a matter of time before people start realizing that it's inevitable. It is just a better way to work. You get better results out of it. Your people are happier, and when your people are happier, your organizations win.
And from a commercial organization, they make money. And from a nonprofit organization like an association or the federal agency, is that they achieve the goals that are set up for them this year. And my listeners are under the gun. They don't got no money, don't got no people. And by the way, security threats are up, and they've got to figure it out. And maybe this is a last-ditch effort to, okay, well, look at DevOps, because what else is left? They have to try something.
Right.
Well, thank you very much for the interview, Jeff. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Jeff Gallimore, partner at Excella Consulting.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.